Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation is from our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 8. And then all the people, the surrounding country, the Gerasenes, asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. This is our text. Very early in my studies of these lessons for this week, I realized that none of them were conducive for a Father's Day sermon. The closest we get is our gospel lesson where we see Jesus traveling to the Gerasenes on a boat. That's as close as we get to Father's Day, because what father wouldn't rather be on a boat than in church? But after that, that's about it. After that, our text turns into a cosmic battle between good and evil, holy and unholy. In Jesus' day, the whole holy versus unholy, clean versus unclean, shame versus honor balance was a huge deal, much more than it is for us today. If you were a good Jewish citizen, you did everything in your power to maintain your honor, your holiness, your cleanliness. The last thing you ever wanted to be was a Gentile sinner, and neither did you associate with them. What we see in our text reeks of uncleanness and unholiness. Jesus gets out of the boat, and he's met with this Gentile. He's in the Gerasenes, so that's outside of Israel, so everybody there is a Gentile. Add to that the fact that this guy is possessed by many, many demons. Add to that the fact that this guy is running around naked. Add to that the fact that this guy is living among the tombs. He's living among dead people. Further sign of his unholiness. You can search throughout all of Scripture, and I would bet that you will not find anybody who is more unholy, unclean, or dishonored than this man in our lesson for today. And yet, what is interesting is that this Gentile, naked, tomb-loving, and demon-possessed man knows exactly who Jesus is. He does what every single person who has ever met Jesus should have done. He falls down on his knees before God and hails him as the Son of the Most High God. This unholy, unclean demon knows his place before the creator of the world. And while this demon is totally unholy and hates God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he knows his place. And he falls before his master and he says, "What do you have to do with me? And I beg you not to torment me." Now, if I were in Jesus' shoes, I would have gotten back in the boat and headed off back the other way. There is no way that I want to be anywhere near anybody possessed with all those kinds of demons. I don't want anything to do with Satan. I don't want to do anything with anything demonic. Many of you know that about 5, 6, 7 years ago now, I took that trip to India. And while we were there, part of our trip, we went to Varanasi. Varanasi is on the Ganges River. And there's two things you got to know about the Ganges River. Number one, it is the most polluted river in the entire world. It just is. It has a reputation. It's in the top three. Number two, the Ganges River is worshipped by the Hindus as God. If you are Hindu, the one thing you want to do is to become one with the Ganges. You want to become one with your God. And so, there are a couple places on the Ganges River where they hold cremations. And then the remains are placed in the river so that they can be one with God. And I will tell you that while we were in Varanasi, while we were traveling up and down on the Ganges River in a boat, I just had this icky feeling about me. You could feel the evil in the air. You could just tell this was not a good place. And you know what? This whole week, while I've been dealing with this text and reading about the demonic and everything like that, I've kind of had the same feeling. Now, I kind of doubt that Jesus felt icky being in the presence of this man who was so unclean and filled with all kinds of demons. But here in our text, we see Jesus, who is the epitome of cleanliness and honor and holiness. He is in conversation with this demon. And this is the only place in the whole entire New Testament where you will see Jesus having a conversation with a demon. And his name is Legion. Now, a Roman legion consists of 3,000 to 6,000 men. And the book of Mark tells us that that herd of pigs had about 2,000 pigs in it. And so we know that Jesus is up and against at least 2,000 spirits. The one God, Jesus Christ, up against 2,000 spirits. And what do we see? That this spirit falls down and begs Jesus not to torture him, not to send him to the abyss. What we have in our text is a cosmic battle between good and evil, holy and unholy, and the evil and the unholy is on its knees before Jesus. Jesus wins. The conversation doesn't take long. The demons go into the pigs. The pigs run down the prepuces. Don't include big words like prepuces in your, they don't work. They run down the slope and they're drowned. The pigs, the demons in the pigs go to the abyss after all. Jesus wins. Now, can you imagine being this man? Can you imagine the relief that he felt? Jesus didn't raise him from the dead, but it's almost as if he had. This man finally has a new life. He can rejoin society again. He isn't running around naked anymore. He doesn't have to live among the tombs anymore. He can go back into the city. He can live in a house again. He's no longer an outcast. That's the happy part of the story. The sad part of the story is that the herdsmen, who are now out of a job, they see this whole thing play out, and they run into the city, and they tell the townspeople everything that's happened. And the townspeople who have heard about the story and have heard everything that's happened, they run out to see Jesus. And what do they see? They see this man, clothed, sitting in front of Jesus, listening to him teaching. And they can immediately tell that he's in his right mind. And so they see all this evidence. They see that Jesus had just performed a wonderful, marvelous, great miracle. And what do? They ask him to leave. They ask him to get in the boat and head the other way. Why? Because Jesus is holy and they are not. They know that they are Gentile sinners. They can see Jesus' holiness from a mile away. And they just can't handle that. The holy, the unholy cannot handle the holy. And so they ask Jesus to leave. And he does. The end of the book of Matthew, Matthew 28. We have the Great Commission. Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, tells his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. What we see in our text for today is a miniature version of that Great Commission. When Jesus asked the demon-possessed man to return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. That, my dear friends, is a small version of that Great Commission. It's not as poetic. It doesn't have the pizzazz that Matthew 28 does, but it serves the same purpose, and it tells that man to go and proclaim the gospel to his city. And you know what? He does. So if they ask Jesus to leave and he's not going to be around, this guy wants to be Jesus' disciple and he's going to be his disciple in that place. The text tells us that he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. He takes Jesus' message to heart. And if Jesus couldn't be in that city to teach them, well then this formerly demon-possessed man will be. And that's our gospel lesson for today. Not a very good Father's Day lesson, is it? But what does this text have to say to us? Well, first off, we know that we took a look last week at those three different sinners. We looked at King David, who had committed adultery. We took a look at that prostitute who lived a complete life of sin, and then we looked at that Pharisee who was self-righteous and stuck up. And just like them, and just like the herdsmen, and just like that demon-possessed man and the townspeople, we are all just like them. We are sinners. We are sinners, and we are uncomfortable with holiness because of our sin. If Jesus would appear right here, right now, guess what we would all probably do? We would all, like that demon-possessed man, fall on our face. Not because Jesus would surprise us by showing up here in the middle of worship, but because he is holy and we are unholy, and that's what happens. We are sinful, and we would fall on our face because of our sinfulness, because he is holy. But you know what? Just as Jesus cast the demons out of that man and freed that man from the bondage that he was in, Jesus has died for our sins. And he has separated our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. We are forgiven. And we don't have to tremble in front of Jesus because our sin is gone. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are perfect and holy, and we are without sin. But it has nothing to do with what we've done. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. And the great news of our text for today, the biggest thing that we see happen in our text for today, is that Jesus triumphs over all of those demons. Remember, it was one against 2,000, and Jesus triumphed over them all. Jesus sends those demons into the pigs, and they end up in the lake, and ultimately, they are destroyed. The Lord who said, "Let there be light," and set the creation of the world in motion, destroyed those demons who possessed and held that man in bondage. And you know what? The same thing is going to happen at the end of time. As this world ends, our Lord and Savior is going to throw Satan and all his evil cohorts into the abyss where they will be locked up forever. While we will be with our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, enjoying the bliss of heaven forever. Sin, death, and the devil will be locked up forever in the abyss, while we rest comfy and cozy in heaven for all eternity. My dear friends, that is the good news for today. our Lord Jesus Christ has triumphed. And because of his victory, we don't have to feel icky ever, because we are perfect and holy, and we're going to spend all eternity in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.